Shalom to all. Today we're going to learn Yerushalmi Sukkah right at the beginning of Parak Gimel, and in the Oz Brother Tzuris Davitz on Tesvav Amud Aleph, and in the Arskol Tzuris Davitz on Tesvav Amud Beis. And today's Davitz sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Meir Sar Bas Biyakam Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. Now this Parak we're going to be learning about Lulav Hadas from Esrog and Aravos and different dinim pertaining to them. What makes them pasul? When are they kosher? And things related. Now there's something unique that we find regarding the Dalar Midim that doesn't apply anywhere else in the Torah, and that's called the Psol of Hadar. We know that with all mitzvahs there's a concept of Zekeli Vanveyu that we should Mahadir Lafan of that when we do a mitzvah, it should be beauty, meaning physical beauty. You want your mitzvah to be physically attractive, such as a pair of tzitzis. You want it to be nice and clean and white and crisp and not all yellow and old and aged. And we find that by just about all the mitzvahs. However, even if it's not hadar, even if it's not beautiful, that doesn't make the mitzvah pasul. That's not a problem, except for by the dalar minim. We found there's something called the psul of hadar, that if it lacks a certain element of beauty to it, it's actually not kosher, as we're going to see that applied throughout this parak. So the Mishnah tells us, luv ha-gazol v'hayavesh pasul, a luv that was stolen or it's dried out, it's pasul, and shal shev shal yarni dachas pasul. A lulav that's an asher yarni dachas is pasul. Now these two things that we just mentioned have to do with avodah zarah. Asher is a tree that was served as avodah zarah, and yarni dachas is a city which, as a whole, served avodah zarah. And both of these have to be destroyed. And we're going to see in the Gemara why these are pasul. So Mishnah continues, nektam roishai. If the tip of the lulav is cut off or nifritzu olav, the leaves are torn off, pasul. So it's pasul. Whereas nifridu olav, kosher. If the leaves are just spread out, it's kosher. That means that the leaves of the lulav are not up against the spine, up against the shajra, they started spreading out. It's still kosher. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, Yogdenum Lamala, he has to tie them up from above, meaning they have to be pressed against the shajra, against the spine, and tied so it looks okay. Another din, Sine Harabarzal Ksheiros, a lulav that's called Sine Harabarzal. Those are kosher. And lastly, call lulav Sheshba Shlesha Tvachim Kdela Neabai, kosher. Any lulav that has three tvachim in order to be able to shake it, it's kosher. And the Gemara explains that this means it has to have three tvachim to match with the Dasam and Ravais, and it has to have another tefach in order to be able to shake it. So Gemara tells us, the pasuk says, and you shall take for yourselves. What do we learn from here? Mishel lochem. Your lulav has to be yours, v'lei hagazel, not a stolen one. So that's the reason why lulav hagazel is pasul. Now Rabbi Levi says, zeshu naito lulav gazel, l'mahu daimeh, somebody takes a stolen lulav. What's he compared to? Mechad shekibes ha-shilta and tamchui echad, to somebody who is mechabed. He's trying to give honor to the ruler with a certain dish, and v'nimsa mishaloi. It turns out that dish was the ruler's. He stole from the ruler to give to the ruler. And Amru, they said, I loy lezesh, woes to this fellow who his sanegar, his defendant, is turning to the one accusing him. You can't steal from the ruler to give him a present. It's the same thing. You can't use a stolen lulav to try to bring shevach tashem and be makam your mitzvah. The Gemara continues, shayfer shal avay dezar shal irani dachas, Rabbi Lazar amar kosher. Rabbi Lazar says that a shayfer of avay dezar irani dachas is kosher, and Tani Rabbi Chiya kosher, he teaches as well, it's kosher, whereas Tani Rabbi Shaya, pasul. Rabbi Shaya says a shayfer of avay dezar irani dachas is pasul. So here we have machlokes by shayfer. However, I call maidim lulav shu pasul. Everyone agrees that by lulav it's pasul, and the question is ma'bin shayfer, ma'bin lulav. What's the difference between shayfer and lulav? So Rabbi Yosef, he answers belulav ksev ulkachtem lachem mishal lachem. The pasuk says ulkachtem lachem, and that means it has to be yours, and that means loy mishal yisrei hanaya. It cannot be of yisrei hana. It can't be usher to benefit from, which means it was used for avodah zarah, and it has to be totally destroyed, and one's not allowed to benefit from it. Well, then you're not allowed to use it as your mitzvah. Baram hacha, however, here yom truya lachem mikol makom. The pasuk by shayfer says yom truya lachem, that the day shall be a day of trua. Not that the shayfer should be yours, but the day is yours. And therefore, mikol makom, it doesn't really make a difference where the shayfer comes from. No, Amar Blazer. Blazer explains differently. Taman begufai hu yaitzei. Over there, with a lulav, he's being yaitzei with a lulav itself. He takes a lulav, he holds on to the lulav, he shakes the lulav, and therefore is using something that's asr ba'na. Baram hacha, over here with the shayfer, bekoile hu yaitzei, he's being yaitzei just with the koil of the shayfer, with the sound of it. And tasavon bezata, v'yash koil asr ba'naya. Do we ever find that sound is asr ba'na? No, we don't find that, and therefore a shayfer, even if the shayfer itself is asur bana, we still could be yotzer achiv with it. The Gemara clarifies, ma pligin, what's our machlokes regarding b'shagazel meshupe? That's if he stole an already made shayfer, it's all smooth and ready and perfectly fine, whether or not you're yotzer with it. Avalon gazel, but if he stole a ram's horn, vishipahu, and then he fixed it up, he made it usable as a shayfer, damim hu chayev loy, he's only chayev money to him. This is something called koine b'shinoy, that when a person steals an item, and then he fixes it up, he changes it, he does something to it, so he actually acquired it by doing so, and now it's not considered stolen anymore. He owes the money for stealing this object. He still has to pay it back, but the object itself is considered his, and therefore, even according to the Ma'ad Omar, that you cannot be yotze with a stolen shayfer. Over here, you would be able to, because it's not considered stolen anymore. So now we continue discussing this idea of changing something, making a shinui in it, and that you acquire it. Gemara tells us, gazel luv mikan, a person stole luv from here, v'hadas mikan, and hadas from there, v'arav mikan, and arav from somewhere else, v'agdan, and then he tied them all together. Is that considered like a shinui, and now he's kind of them, or not? And the answer is in Shemina Adal. It's from the following. Sukkah Gzula, a stolen sukkah, is Tanayotani Kshera, is Tanayotani Psula. Those that teach that's kosher, and those that teach that's pasul. Rav Siman says, B'shem Rishu ben Levi, Mandamar Kshera, the one that says it's kosher, B'shagazal Karka, that's where he stole the land that the sukkah's on. He went to his friend's property and built his own sukkah there. That's considered stealing the land. And we know that Karka in an exeles, you're not actually able to steal land. It's not like you could take it and put it in your pocket. So even if you took over somebody's land and you're using it for yourself, that's still not considered stealing land. And that's a situation that a stolen sukkah would be kosher. Whereas Madam Rapsula, the one that says it's pasul, is Bishagazal Psal. That's where he stole the psal. He stole the schach. And so he's sitting under stolen schach. That's a situation that wouldn't be a kosher sukkah. And here's the raya of if you're shalei kosher, is it possible for him to sit under the schach without tying it? Of course, you tie the schach down. So we see that even though it was tied, that's not considered a shinui enough that now it belongs to him. Because if it belonged to him, he'd be yaitza with it. And that would technically be the answer to our question that if he stole a lua from here, hadas and a rava from there, and he tied them all together, that's not considered that he was kind of a shinui and he wouldn't be yaitza. However, says the Gemara, not a raya. B'miyashe milamalon. It's very possible that he just put the schach one on top of another and he didn't tie it. And so therefore, we don't have an answer to the question. The Gemara continues, Rabban de Kesaran say b'shem Rabbi Yechanan, bein zeh ubein zeh ksheira. In both situations, it's actually kosher, and that's a proper gersa, not psula, but ksheira. And ezuhi gzula psula. What's a case of a stolen sukkah which is pasul? Kol shehu nichnas v'sech sukkah shel chaveroi shloim midaitoi. That's if he goes into his friend's sukkah without his friend's knowledge or allowance. His friend did not tell him he could use it, and he just went in and used it. That's called a stolen sukkah which is pasul, and that's because it's a shoyel shloim midas. A person's borrowing without asking, and that's considered a gazlan. So that's when he wouldn't be yaitze. Now, just going back to what we mentioned before, that if a person took his own sukkah and built it on his friend's property, that's called stealing his land. But as we explained before, you're not able to steal land, and so it's not considered sukkah gzula. Where do we see this? Kadon Gamliel Zuga. It's like the story of Gamliel Zuga. Avadli Metala Gaishuka. He built his sukkah in the shuk in the marketplace, and that's basically stealing public property. And Avrib Shimon Lakish Amar Le Man Sharlach. Reish Lakish passed by and asked him, who allowed you to do this? But he did not tell him that you weren't yaitze. So we see that building your sukkah on somebody else's property, even though maybe it's not allowed, does not mean that the person's not yaitze. And can you explain the Mishnah? We had said that yavesh pasul, a dry lulav is pasul. The question is, why is that? Sort of oven says between reviewed the barpazi, ha yavesh pasul al shem loy hamesim yahal luka, because the pasuk says the dead can't praise Hashem. So if he's using a dried out lulav, which is basically a dead lulav, so he can't use that in his praise to Hashem. Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings the Ritva, who explains that really the psul is hadar. It's not hadar if it's dried out. And the way we know that there's a psul of hadar by lulav is because we have a hekesh between lulav and esrog, and there's a psul of hadar by esrog, as it's called pre-eitz hadar, and therefore lulav hayavesh is pasul because of hadar, and this pasuk is really just a smach. Now we continue. Tani b'shem Reb Yuda, we have a brass in Reb Yuda, hayavesh atzmai kosher. A dry lulav actually is kosher, and that's because he holds that there is no hekesh between lulav and esrog, so there's no psul of hadar by lulav. And Amar Lahan Reb Yuda, Reb Yuda told them, how do I know that a dry lulav is kosher? People in villages by the sea, they give over their lulavim as inheritance to their kids. They use it from year to year, and obviously it's dry, so it has to be that a dry lulav is kosher. However, Amrulai, they told him, we can't learn from Shasad Chak, from a pressured situation. They have a very difficult time obtaining fresh lulavim, and that's their only recourse to use their lulav year after year, but that doesn't mean that l'chatchila, it's okay. Another question about hadar and a dried out lulav, bon kumir ravina, they asked in front of ravina, yosha tzitzisoy mahu. Let's say the tip of the lulav, that's what we would call the tip of the tiyomes, it's the very tippity top, let's say that dried out, what's the din? Do we say that that's a problem of yavesh and it's possible because it's not hadar, or maybe it is okay because it's just the tip, whereas the rest of the lulav is nice and fresh? Ask the Gemara, ma beino lakotum, what's the difference between this and a lulav that the tip is snipped, that that's definitely problematic as the Mishnah said. So Armelain, he explained to them, ze hadar v'ze einoy hadar, one of them is still hadar. When we have a lulav that only the tip of it is dry, we could still say the entire lulav is hadar, it's just that the tip, which is a tiny little part, is dry, so it's not really a problem of hadar. But when the tip is snipped and you can see clearly that it doesn't have a tip, that's obviously a problem in hadar. The Gemara continues. Rav Malach says, "B'shem Rav Shuban Levi, nechlak hamatim. If the matim, which we call the tiyomis, is split, the tiyomis is the middle leaf that goes all the way up to the top. As we all know, when you look at your lulav, so we have the shedra, we have the spine, which is pretty solid and thick, and then it narrows as it goes up, eventually just becoming the tiyomis, which is the middle leaf, and it's just a leaf. It's not really the spine. So if that tiyomis is split, kamisha nifredu ha'alin, says the Gemara, it's like the leaves have just parted, and as we had said in the Mishnah, that's kosher. Now it's important to note that Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings that the Ramban's girsa is that it's like nifritsu alav, and that means it would be pasul. So that's a pretty big girsa difference. Another din about the lulav, the pasuk tells us kapais tamarim. That's the way it describes lulav. Kapais tamarim. So tarfin Omer, he explains that how do we understand this? Kafus tamarim. Kafus means tied up, which means that the lulav has to be tied. This is a discussion which is known in Bavli as lulav tzarech eged or ein tzarech eged. Does a lulav have to be tied up or not? And the answer is that yes, according to Tarfin, it's kafus tamarim, it has to be tied. Now Rabbi Kiva says, kapais tamarim kishman. That's just the name. The name of the species that's supposed to be taken is called kapais tamarim, and you don't learn anything from it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, im nifrad yagdanu, if the leaves got spread out, so then he should just tie them up so that they're up against the shadra. And we continue, the Mishnah told us about Sinei Harabarzel, that these are kosher lulavim. Says the Gemara, Elohein Sinei Harabarzel Shein Ksheirois, these are the kosher types of lulavim that are Sinei Harabarzel. Kosher Rosh Shalzeh, Magia Lotzadi Kar Shalzu, the tip of one leaf reaches the root of the next leaf. We know that with all lulavim that we use, the leaves are very long and each one is overlapping the next. You have two leaves starting at the bottom on the opposite sides of the shadra, and then right after the first leaf starts the second leaf, then the third leaf, and they're all overlapping each other. Now these Sinei Harabarzel are very different. They have very short leaves, and the only ones that are kosher are if the tip of one leaf reaches the root of the next leaf, then it's okay. Another din about lulavim, tani, we have a brisa, charos psula. But daima l'charos, kosher. If it's charos, then it's pasul. But if it's similar to charos, it's kosher. What does this mean, charos? So throughout Gemara, we often find the term charios shel dekel, which are palm branches. Have you been to Eretz Yisrael, where there's quite a lot of palm trees, or perhaps other cities or countries in the world that you often find palm trees, then you know exactly what this is referring to. This is just a regular classic palm branch that you see at the top of the tree, and is a very thick, long stem, if you will, or the long branch coming out of the base of the tree, and then it has these hard, sharp, pointed leaves that are spread out from it. Now, in essence, what that really is a lulav that's opened up, grown fully, and become very hard. So if it's charos, if it's charios shel dekel, if it's this fully splayed out, expanded, hardened palm branch, so that's pasul. But if it's similar to that, if it looks like it, but it's still soft, then it's kosher, and then we'd have to do like what Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah had said, just tie them up against the shedra, against the spine, and that would be a kosher lulav. Moving on to Tezayin Amud Aleph on the top, going to explain the last part of the Mishnah where we had said the lulav that has three tefachim in order to shake is kosher. So Rishim Bar Abba says, Bishim Rabbi Yechanan, Kinim Asnisa, this is really what the Mishnah is saying. Ukedei l'naneh boy, we have to add in that vav over there, it's very vital. And the way that we read it is like we had explained in the Mishnah, is that if the lulav has three tefachim and enough to shake it, so then it's kosher. What does that mean? Tani, we have a brisa, Hadas Varava Shloisha, the lulav arba. The Hadassim and Arava is each are three tefachim long, and the lulav is four tefachim long. That's the minimum size, and that's what we mean. Ukedei l'naneh boy, it has to have the three tefachim to match up with the Hadassim and Arava's three tefachim, and then another tefach to be able to shake it. Now, Tani, we have a brisa, Ba'amas Chamisha, Divrei Reb Tarfin. Reb Tarfin says that this ama is a five tefach ama. What does that mean? So often, when discussing the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash, we find that an ama could either be six tefachim or five tefachim. What Reb Tarfin just told us is that we take a classic six tefach ama and then we divide it into five, which means that each tefach is really a tefach and a fifth, and that's the way that we're measuring these tefachim for the lulav. So really, it's not four tefachim, it's four and four fifths of the tefach. However, Chamar and Chamar say ba'amas shisha, we're just measuring it with a regular six tefach ama, and so therefore it's just a regular four tefach lulav. And so it turns out from here, al Reb Tarfin, Poshchin Ravervin, according to Reb Tarfin, the tefachim that we're using are large. Poshchin means tefachim, and Ravervin means large. And al Daitin de Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, Poshchin de Kikin, they're smaller tefachim, really meaning regular sized tefachim. And Rav Yoin and Rav Shimon Lakesh both say b'shem Rav Yehuda Nesiya, lulav tefach, the lulav is a tefach. And Rav Simon says b'shem Rav Shuba Levi, ezoiv tefach, that the ezoiv, which is translated as hyssop, these are stalks that are used to dip into the mechatos, the water and ashes mixture of the para aduma, and sprinkled on somebody. That's what the ezoiv is, and those have to be a tefach. Rav Zeir Bar Rav Zeir asks as follows, lulav tefach, ezoiv tefach. What does that mean that lulav is a tefach and ezoiv is a tefach? And the question is as follows: in our Hava Mina, we're understanding that Rav Simon is somehow comparing the tefach of a lulav to the tefach of an ezoiv, and it can't be that he's simply mentioning things that their shear is a tefach, because then he should have mentioned other things as well. And so in regards to what is he comparing ezoiv and a lulav, we know that the shear of a lulav is not really a tefach, it has to be more than a tefach. So what does that mean, that lulav and ezoiv are both a tefach? However, right away we show that that's not true. Amar B'yaisi, Rabbi explains, Kaima Reb Simon, we can really keep what Reb Simon said, we could establish it, we can clarify it, because Reb Chinna says the name Reb Simon, who said B'shem Reb Shua ben Levi, that really we do have a whole list of things that their shear is a tefach. So as we just said, the Havamina is, Reb Simon's not coming to tell us things that the shear is a tefach. Now, says Rabbi Yossi, he actually is telling us a number of things that their shear is a tefach. What are those things? Lulav tefach, ezev tefach, shofar tefach, shilya tefach, and yesh ayrim, some say avdoif and shlishas tefach. And so we have this whole list of things that their shear is a tefach. And now we clarify, what does that mean that their shear is a tefach? Reb Zeir Boy, he says as follows, lulav tefach, tafach milvad shizra. Really, the Gersa is milvad shedra. When we say luv is a tafach, it means an extra tafach, and it could even be not including the shedra. In other words, the spine of the luv itself doesn't have to include this extra tafach. The extra tafach beyond the three tefachim that we mentioned previously could be even in just the leaves, and that's okay. That's fulfilling that extra tefach that the luv has to have. However, ezov tafach chutz megiv oilin. When we talk about the ezov being a tafach, it has to be the spine, meaning the stem of the ezov. That itself has to be a tafach, and we're not able to count the leaves that are coming out of it. The minimum that the stem is able to be is a tafach. Rabbi Yosef quotes Rabbi Tavi b'shem Rav. Rabbi Chinu quotes Rav Parnach, who quotes Rav Masna, who quotes Yosi bar Manisha b'shem Rav. Lulav tafach milvad shizra and ezov tafach chutz megiv oilav. So it's the same din. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Beis on to discuss hadasim. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.